President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour. And here we are on February the 3rd on the West Coast, or if you are in the Eastern or Central time zones, then you are quite aware that it is now the 4th of February. We have a great guest tonight with us. He has been on the show several times in the past month, and we've been talking about a lot of things. He is a fantastic researcher and a very prolific author. He's written over 20 books. He's currently working on some more books. In fact, I'm going to be contributing to at least one of those works, and we have been conducting a series of interviews, not just here on BBS Radio, but on some other networks, disclosing some things that are going on. We're constantly making discoveries. That's what we researchers do, is we look again. Somehow we miss it the first time around, so we research. And if we're lucky, we find it the second time. We're going to shift gears a bit tonight on the show. At some point, we may not right at the top of the show, but certainly we're going to be talking about tonight's guest's area of expertise as far as his vocation. He is an osteopath and a holistic health practitioner of sorts. He has written some books in the Patriot community. One which is receiving a lot of attention these days is Wrongly Blamed, the story about 9/11 and the London bombings, and otherwise known as 7/7. And he's written a book that's become very dear to me, The Secret Scripture. He's also written The Magnificent Message. He has two volumes. Volume 2, I understand, is going to be published very soon, or it's actually in publication right now. And he's written a number of health books, two new books that have come to my attention very recently, The Cure is in the Cupboard and How to Eat Right and Live Longer. Would you believe that there might be a solution to a longer life just by selecting what you eat and eating properly? We're going to talk about some of those things, as well as some health supplements and vitamins, minerals, and some very unique properties that some of these supplements have in fighting disease and building up your immune system and basically toning up your whole being. And I have to tell you that having tried some of these, I can assure you they work. And so I'm going to find this interesting tonight, and I hope you do. With that, we bring on tonight's guest, my good friend now, Dr. Qasim Khalil. Dr. K, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back and be with you on this show.
Well, it's nice to have you here. Yeah. We've been, as you heard me mention, if you heard the introduction, we are in the midst of a whole series of radio shows. It's almost like we're on the radio together 7 days a week.
That's about right. It needs to be. Yeah, and this whole issue of evidence for a mass crime takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of information to be spread out. There are a number of aspects to these issues that you have to discuss, and unless they're discussed in an intelligent way, calmly, and without any ulterior motive, there's no way to get through it. And so hopefully these will become an archive of information for people. And before we get into the health thing, this issue of strewn wreckage is just probably the final proof or the nail in the coffin for the fake terror act. I hope people understand this, because it's very difficult to believe that there there was a fraud just by the memory banks. People's memory banks have sucked up the planes, and the witnesses that we've been led to believe were real, whether Shanksville, the Pentagon, or, you know, the anchors telling us, the Peter Jennings of the world, the Dan Rathers, the Wolf Blitzers, the Connie Chungs, the Leslie Stahls, the, you know, the, so no one really has a clear picture. So we have to find some proof to jog people a little bit. And we've got it in the strewn wreckage. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we found it in another, in a number of places. You and I have been discussing the videos. And of course, they're relying on the fact that, they can actually put out bogus videos, but in comparing these videos to the ones that we saw on television, we're seeing quite a wide spectrum of special effects, aren't we?
Oh, definitely. And from a variety of sources.
Mm-hmm.
Espionage agencies that are fearful that the truth comes out, the networks themselves, perhaps private businesses that are also afraid that that they could be culpable or that the plot would be revealed. And so there's quite a bit on the internet of altered video to substantiate the idea of jet, you know, large jumbo jets just out of nowhere. But you've debunked quite a bit of that on one of the recent films, and I've also looked at the classic, which is 911 by the Nade brothers, which is a mainstream accepted view of the Trade Tower blast. So that was a CBS production and a Vanity Fair production, and yet we found that they spliced material into that and altered that video. There's no doubt
mm-hmm.
about it. You know.
Did you, Dr. K, did you get a chance to see the video that I had mentioned on the show we did on RBN last night, where they arrive at the towers and the cameras sort of jiggling around in a very unprofessional way, and it's trained, or I should say entrained, on the two buildings, which are still standing, and they show the complete shot for some time, and then they show another version with the plane going in. Did you have a chance to look at that?
No, but in other words, they show it without the plane going in, and then they show it with the plane going in. Is that what?
Yes, yes.
Well,
it's the same.
pretty tantamount to proof. There's also some pretty good live footage on a number of videos, which were from local anchors or local news wires.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they were helicopter or whatever, but where they have a wide view of the World Trade Centers, and there's no plane whatsoever, just an explosion. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I think that was in the second tower to explode.
Those
wide view cameras were there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it's which way do you want it? On the one hand, you have live footage, you know, Mr. Media, you know, the almighty media, that shows that you don't have a plane, and then you present to us material from your anchors that show what appear to be a plane. I mean, why don't you come forward on this one? They never will.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know,
then,
I brought up the fact that they're complicit in this, in the cover up of the evidence or the doctoring of the evidence. Normally, in a court of law during a murder investigation or a murder trial, where especially mass murder. They would investigate this thing from the top to the bottom and back up again. And here you have a total refusal to even acknowledge that these things were said or these things were reported. Where did they get this information? And we can compare that also on a parallel after the two towers 1 and 2 fell. We saw clips of the BBC news broadcast where it was a few minutes before 5 o'clock our time, and which would have been about a few minutes before 10 their time in London, and they were already reporting that building number 7 had fallen.
Yeah,
and then there was a live reporter standing in a studio environment. She may have even been outside on a balcony of a building, and they were to her back was Building 7 still standing, and she was reporting that it had also collapsed.
Yeah. Well, Fox News' Leventhal was on the street with the, you know, sort of dust-soaked people, and he was going around saying Building 7 is going to come down, too. So you have this foreknowledge thing is very important. Who knew that people would die? Who knew that the buildings were going to be brought down? And then they didn't tell anybody. So you have two things. You have the doctoring of evidence, which is a criminal act. I don't know the exact term, but it's a big criminal act. What is the term for that, Mr. Don?
They have different terms depending on what stage of the crime, but it is tampering with evidence?
Yeah, tampering with evidence. Yeah. So you have tampering, very good, tampering with evidence. But you also have the foreknowledge, which is essentially kind of a premeditated murder. You know people are going to die, you do nothing about it, and you participate in the cover-up. So you have tampering with evidence, you have cover-up, you have a conspiracy to commit a crime. These are all punishable by extreme penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the biggest crime and biggest crime scene in the history of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So
you also had the theft of major amounts of gold from in the lower levels of the World Trade Center.
Never heard a word other than Nova Scotia saying that, or the Scotia Bank saying they got a bit, but or Bank of Montreal, I guess it was, but nothing, not a word about the other gold.
Yeah, and then you had the fraud in the put options and other aspects of the stocks that
yeah.
weren't even mentioned.
Oh, yes, yes.
So this enters RICO statutes as well.
Well, that's right. It is RICO. Now, we have some important altered footage that we've stumbled across and that others have posted on the Internet. But perhaps the most compelling aspect is that they apparently had put some sort of layers on top of layers on top of layers, and I don't know exactly how they do it, to superimpose a plane, the image of a plane, in those videos, which a lot of people don't know that. They don't know that they're not seeing real vehicles there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody's going to say, this is a big conspiracy. What a bunch of nutcases. You know, so we will be backing that up for you, you know, tonight. But they're on the Naudé film. If people click it very carefully on the second explosion, you will see a lot of anomalies. But one of the anomalies you'll see is that the buildings have a semicircular part missing, not where the explosions are down lower, where the sky becomes a part of the building. And you will also see, if you look carefully, that the puff begins before. You know, the explosion coming out, the puff out of a bomb blast of material going laterally, that occurs before the image of the plane enters the building. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple anomalies. And then you found some people posting videos recently where they were obviously trying to create some photoshopping of a burst. There were little lines on the front of the building, amongst other anomalies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, for the listeners in radio land, what if you can imagine that you're looking at, let's say, we'll just use an arbitrary number, the 85th floor of the World Trade Center, either building, it doesn't really matter because we saw these anomalies occurring everywhere in all the film. And there's a horizontal line that basically moves from the left side of the building to the right side of the building, as if someone had drawn a line on the building with a pen, with a black marker, let's say. And then moments after that line appears, all of a sudden flames burst out. Now, this is an explosion. This isn't a slow fire or something that is charring the building on the outside. You would see smoke. There's absolutely no smoke coming out of the building. The line appears, then the flames come out, then there's billowing black smoke, and then the smoke thins out to where you can see the building. Now, another shot of the same event from a different camera shows the smoke is remaining black and continuously billowing. Now, how can you get these two different images of the same event?
Well, they're doctoring these things up, and so it alters the reality, because you can go to the Bob and Bree where they're photographing out of their apartment condo, mm-hmm. and it's real footage and amateur, and they're moving around, and so the video shakes a bit, as you would expect. And you can see World Trade Centers. You can see the aluminum cladding. You can see the variegation in the wall. You can see the smoke is gray, and it's just sort of slowly coming out. There's no fabrication. It's not altered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can contrast that to all these things that the big networks have put out, and you can see there's an enormous difference.
So yes,
I don't know, you know, whatever they've done, it's altered the entire screen, the color, obviously they've superimposed material on top of materials. It's completely changed it. It's become dull or smudged compared mm-hmm. to the crispness of real home video.
Yes. And the original video that they broadcast is called What We Saw on 9/11. And then they have their names, Bob and Bree, B-R-I. And Bree, who is taking the photos from what we can tell, or shooting the video, let's say, she's not taking photos, but she's actually shooting film, remarks that there's an explosion. She had her camera at the window prior to this event occurring. So when the first blast takes place, all she does is describe an explosion.
Yeah.
And we see the second explosion taking place, and again, there's no plane in either case.
No, that's right. That North Tower blows, and she says it's an explosion, and somebody's watching the tube. And
mm-hmm.
they said the person watching the tube said it's a plane.
And yeah, they got that from CNN.
Yeah, so. And she kind of, a plane. And she reiterates that it's an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else comes in, or she calls her boyfriend, whatever it is, her husband. And
husband,
so there's a
yeah.
couple people watching TV claiming plane, and the woman who sees it live claims an explosion.
Yes.
Now, you know, that would be deafening to bring in a 767 massive plane, 800 feet above sea level,
mm-hmm.
get in amongst all those buildings. It never happened before in the history of that area.
Yeah.
And you know as well as I do that if we stood on a runway, which is illegal, underneath an approaching plane at only 200 miles an hour or 150 miles or whatever it is, it would be deafening, and we would be plugging our ears.
Oh, sure. Or you would go deaf.
Oh, you know what? You're right. You would split your eardrum. Yeah. Now, I'm speaking to you as a medical doctor. I would be plugging my ears to protect my ears as an instinct if that jumbo was running down Church Street or wherever the heck, I guess it would have been Church or wherever, if that thing was barreling down at 800 feet above sea level, I'm plugging my ears. Did you see anybody on the Nade video or any other video plugging their ears?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, that plane was determined, at least they said. Now, since you and I have come to the conclusion that there was no plane, how do you gauge the speed of the plane in the video? They claim it was going between 500 and 600 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, apparently, again, Jeffrey Hill contacted Boeing and asked them if it was possible at that elevation to go any more than 200 miles an hour, and she basically said, that's a joke if you think it can go. It's not 500 miles an hour, not possible. It's a joke.
Yeah. Yet you had the media parroting that story time and again for days at a time.
Yeah.
And also to go in along with what Bree described as an explosion, there were mainstream media reporters live on TV with, counting the 17-second delay that they used as a broadcast delay, claiming that they heard or saw explosions and no plane.
Oh, definitely. Don Dollar was countering the anchor, saying it was just explosions.
Yes.
And all the photographers, all the people close, until they were starting to get harassed by media spies, espionage agents and pounded and pounded and pounded. Plane? You said there was a plane. Well, I didn't see that. So we're supposed to believe in Leventhal and Aaron Brown and you know, a bunch of sharp-nosed whatever pounding us relentlessly. You know, it's just incredible.
Now, you have to ask yourself the question. I mean, it begs the question, if this is true, what you and I are talking about, what is it that the government is hiding? Right, because the government is the experts. There are security, there are safety net.
Yeah.
Why are they so in dispute with all of this information?
Well, your army contractors, your Air Force contractors, are making a lot of money right now, and if they had a rebellion, remember when Nixon said, "I can't fight both wars. I got to get out of Vietnam," you know? They wanted to continue that thing endlessly, but he couldn't handle the rebellion at home. So, obviously the big contractors don't want to lose out. And the geopolitical oil cartel is not interested in losing, and they have a bigger influence over the government than all 350 million or whatever Americans and Canadians. So, that's the government's position. But the position of the media and the world Jewry is even more dire, because they don't want to be found out. You know, they—I mean, the government has other positions, but the big position is: if you killed those people and you obstructed justice, then you're going to be on the firing line, because we can name you. You know, it's not that easy in a murder. If somebody's dead in your house or in somebody else's, and you don't even know who was there, then you got to figure out who was there. This is not a non-issue here. You've got names, times, and places of the murderers, of the conspirators, of the criminals at large. So the only thing they've got left is to hide this up, man.
Yeah, now, like the Kennedy assassination, they formed a commission. They had the Warren Commission back then. Now we have this 9/11 Commission. And you almost have the same players involved in this event as you did in that other one. I'm not saying in the sense of exactly the same people, but I'm speaking more hypothetically or
rhetorically. Same methodology, this Zapruder film. Yeah. You know, so you've got the Hollywood by 2003 having several films. You have the commission, a trumped-up group. Yeah, the same. The assumption is that Americans are ignorant, they don't read, they don't think. This is the assumption, they're dumb. And so we don't need to really worry about being too careful. We'll just give them enough impressions, and they'll just dumb down and accept our story. Well, that's not happening this time. So, for example, if you look at the mistakes that the Mossad made on the strewn wreckage, they made numerous errors in that area. You know, the different engine parts and parts of planes that were strategically placed in the New York area. So now we're seeing those errors, and it's become, in other words, the obfuscation, the attempted cover up, or the attempt to mislead has become evidence against them. You know, they didn't expect this, my friend.
Yeah, and you have to really ask yourself, what kind of investigation can you really have, truly have, when all of the evidence has been removed?
Well, it's more difficult, but it's such a high crime and such a large one that there were too many trails that, again, no one expected that the public would intellect out this problem, would intellectualize the actual factors. For example, how could you be this sloppy? You actually have people who put the wreckage down before the World Trade Centers were exploded. So even apparently before the first tower was hit, the strewn wreckage was already planted in one area. And that would be on Church and Murray Street, because we have a photograph here of people looking up at the World Trade Center when it's first blowing up. The Mossad agent that was photographing this, the Naudet brothers and their associates, at the angle they photographed it, we also see the engine underneath the canopy on Murrah Street. So we see the engine. We see a little engine part by a waste can. We see that that engine is just sitting on the pavement underneath the scaffolding and underneath the awnings and next to a lamp pole and next to the scaffolding. It's just sitting there. So that is proof of a conspiracy to commit a high crime. So in this case, although they destroyed a lot of evidence, there's still enough evidence to indict and to punish, as it should be, the people who killed our fellow Americans on that day.
And many foreigners, too.
Oh, that's another point. It should be an international court. Not an international court, because there's no justice anywhere, but an international group. But now this wreckage, the other proof on the wreckage is that it was dust-free. Remember how the trade centers became dust?
Yeah, and everything virtually turned to powder.
Yeah. That's a whole other thing, too, into getting into that. Because, as you know, from the Murrah building in Oklahoma City, there was big RDX and C4 explosive and stuff, but it didn't get pulverized. Yeah. Now, the dust covers the wreckage at a second photograph by Fox News. So you have undusted engine parts, completely dust-free, and no heat. Those engines do not have any heat or thermal energy coming off of them whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no charring. The metal is completely clean that way. And it's, of course, about 4,000 pounds or 2,000 pounds. One could wonder how you could eject a 2,500-pound piece of metal from 700 feet above sea level, three blocks away trajectory, and land on the pavement without scratching the pavement.
Yeah, and to get it underneath this awning or this canopy in front of that building.
Well, one would have hoped that it would have at least blown apart the Burger King 99-cent Whopper canopy. That's also intact.
Now, that with a plane that completely disappeared. I mean, any trace of the rest of the plane had disappeared.
Well,
according to their story, you know, we're following their excuse.
Well, they did say it was vaporized, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
How can you, which way do you want it? Or which way are you to have it? Is it vaporized or only partially vaporized?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've pretty much explained all of those issues. You had steel beams, 47 steel columns that went to the 110 stories, and who knows how deep they went into the ground, but all
huge.
That steel, 47 of these huge beams, 110 stories high, reduced to a 10-story high pile of rubble, and the aluminum in that jet engine didn't melt.
No.
Explain that. And it was
attached
to the plane.
Well, that's titanium and steel, but you know, you're right that they said everything was turned into dust, and even steel was supposed to be, you know, sort of vaporized. But this is untouched. It has absolutely no char damage whatsoever. Not even an inch of char.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's most important here again is, it's just on the corner of a street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had something that big and that heavy, you know, and you had a vehicle, that's where you'd want it. You'd want it fairly close so that you could put it there. You
and it's standing up on end, too.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Now, the auger, you know, the central part, if it was ejected from 700 feet at God knows what kind of velocity, that would have kind of dug into the concrete and didn't do that.
Well, I would have to say it would be, if it hit the 85th floor, it would have to be at least 850 feet. So let's be more accurate with our numbers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that extra half a football field makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah. And now this is about four blocks away, I might add.
Yes.
And of course, my biggest question is, from the photographs that I have, and I have all, you know, from the news media, and also some very, very clear ones from independent videographers, such as the Mossad brothers, I mean the Nadeh brothers, that it appears, Mr. Don, that the wreckage was planted before the North Tower exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's an interesting thing. So did the airplane lose an engine while it was just circling New York City?
You know. Well, we know that didn't happen because they wouldn't have been able to fly into the building. And the doctored photos, the composite photos of an airplane flying into a building, would argue that point. So
they would have had to have a composite without an engine.
Yeah.
Now there is other. There's a wheel, you know, and this wheel. Is it like a tire, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if this tire belongs to a 767. I highly doubt it. Because there haven't been that many 767s retired or crashed, so it's probably like a 707 wheel. But the axle's kind of like broken off. The axle's just a few inches, but there's no tarnishing. Now, the rubber would be singed, would it not, or burnt?
Oh, it would have been melted. If the steel melted, I mean, there would be no trace of the rubber.
Okay, well, the rubber is unsinged and, you know, there's no heat coming off of it. And this is also about 5 or 6 inches from the curb.
Yeah.
And it also seems to be attracted to scaffolding.
Yes. I would say also that the rubber wouldn't have been able to find its way to the street, because when the plane went in, this is in the video, when the plane went into the building repaired itself and sealed the hole up.
Oh, so you have to have an ejection hole for this.
Yeah, the tire couldn't even come out of a hole. There was
well, let me
none.
Ask you a question. If you have the landing gear not down, in other words, it's up, then
mm-hmm.
that landing gear isn't just kind of like ready to be snapped off. It's in the belly of the plane, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, how does it get? I mean, since the image of the plane is that the World Trade Center swallowed the plane, and so now that plane is supposed to be in the World Trade Center. Now, how does that landing gear come like back, you know, out of that, and then somehow find its way to a wall in the World Trade Center, and then like break through the remaining steel and aluminum, and then circle around? And it's a pretty big thing, and then sort of like fall under the scaffolding. Wouldn't all those video images all over the place don't show the ejection of a engine or a wheel?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you compare that to Shanksville, here you have an event where they said wreckage was strewn 3 to 4 miles. You have a 10-foot deep hole, no sign of anything, according to one of the reporters there. They didn't find anything larger than a phone book.
Right. Well, that's why they couldn't strew any wreckage there, because there were already, you know, 15 or 20, you know, Shanksville's like rural, so they all went over there. Didn't have anything else
mm-hmm.
to do. And so there was no wreckage, so they had to put it somewhere else, you know, like a mile away, in a pond, you know, different things.
Mm-hmm. And I heard the Rockefellers own that property.
Yeah, they
too.
Do. Yeah, they happen to own that. And they own also the scrap yard and all that. I mean, that whole thing. City Corp owns that.
Now, I guess they have this bionic jet fuel in these planes.
Well, the kind that doesn't burn?
Well, the planes disappear. Where there was no building to crush that plane. So
no.
How did that plane, what caused that plane to come down, and what caused it to disappear?
In Shanksville?
Yes.
Well, actually what you're dealing with there is, like you said, something like the Klingons.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, if there really was a Flight 93 and all that, she would have had to go into cloak mode because nobody's ever found it since. Although the Cleveland International Airport, according to KTSP, I think it was, or whatever.
WTAM, actually.
Oh, WTAM, yeah, we're thinking of that. And thank you. And WTAM, they said it landed at their under their control and that everybody was whisked to the NASA hangar, whatever, wherever that was. But,
That's at near the end of the runway. In fact, when you're driving down the access road, there's a turnoff for what's called Granger Road. You're basically going almost parallel to the landing. I think it's the landing runways there.
Well, they probably
At the end of that runway, there's a fence, and then there's the Lewis Research Center, belongs to NASA.
You suppose they debriefed those people and told them they couldn't say a word, or they come get them? I mean,
it could be, or they took them to an underground base, or they just sort of did a little plastic surgery on them and sent them about their merry way.
Somewhere.
That's even if they were on a plane.
Even if it existed, because we don't know if it's disinfo, but it'd be interesting if anybody was flying on Flight 93 on September 11th, if they would tell us the truth on that. But regardless, unless it was a Klingon vessel, and it's still somewhere around flowing, you know, through the air. We don't have a Flight 93 in the ground. We don't have one in the air. We don't even this whole thing about Donald Rumsfeld being stupid and just saying a missile was shot. You know, Dick Cheney did the same thing. He was on Meet the You Know What or something saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, when we have to make a tough decision, we'll shoot him down before we'll let her come to the White House. So that's more of this disinfo. And people have grabbed onto that, and, oh, yeah, they shot it down with a missile. Well, you know what? What about strewn wreckage?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody saw a plane coming down in fire from a missile strike. It was a clear day. What people did see in Indian Lake, Pennsylvania, at the marina, was confetti falling from the sky.
You know? Now, let's ask a rhetorical question here. What do you think the odds are that four planes, which are hijacked, can all disappear into thin air upon crashing?
The odds would be astronomical. You can't calculate them. There's no number big enough for those odds.
Okay.
Or small enough, I guess.
That one question being answered then should say that there were no planes.
Right, it would. That's a good point here. You know, very good point. Yeah.
Now we had at the Pentagon, if I may just add this little tidbit here, at the Pentagon we had a plane that supposedly crashed in the side of the building at a height of 2 feet. We're talking about a plane that's about 52 feet high. And I don't know how wide the fuselage is, but I can tell you that that it would not fit into the hole that it made in the building, and certainly the wings would have remained outside the building. There's not even scratch marks from wings.
Well, so, April Gallup said that there, you know, she was in there with her little newborn and her 2-month-old, I guess, and she said there was no plane. She got some bomb blast injury, so did her son. She had to crawl around looking for him, grabbed him by his T-shirts, helped a few other women out of the building, and she got out of there. But she said there was no plane. Yeah.
Yes, and some of the surviving witnesses there, those were the finance offices, by the way. It's what they call the E-ring.
Well, that's where Zakheim's money was missing from then.
Yes.
That was the finance. Well, there you go with motive. There you go with motive, because on September the 10th, Rumsfeld announced that $2.3 trillion were missing.
Mm-hmm. And it was the same story when the Murrah building was blown up. It was the finance offices that were attacked.
Mm-hmm. And the same with the World Trade Center 7, the mafioso offices.
Yes.
Particularly the SEC filings of fraud and corruption against New York bankers, Citicorp and Rockefeller and Rothschild, and all of them were in Bronfman, all about to be brought down on charges of corruption and theft and money laundering and to protect their empires, and there we go.
Now, I heard one mainstream news anchor, or not news anchor, but the field reporter, one of the senior field reporters on the scene at the Pentagon, making a statement, and this was later in the evening of 9/11, that the plane that went into the Pentagon, now get this, they have no video of this, but this guy is reporting that the plane went in tipped as if one wing was pointing up in the air and the other one was pointing toward the ground. The first story is that the fuselage, because of how the plane would have struck the building, the fuselage would have had to have been no more than 2 feet off the ground. Now, these wingspans are anywhere from, let's say, 126 to 152 feet. So imagine that half of that made it into that building 2 feet from the ground, and the other half would have been sticking out through the top. Nothing sheared off. In fact, the roof.
What about the engines? The engines come way down.
Oh, but
they'd
those
have been
disappear.
Digging, a big trough in the. They'd had a river trough in there.
You know, the engine that they found on the ground in New York was probably from the Pentagon strike. It rolled all that way.
Yeah, they took that one and replaced it. But we have no plane at Shanksville, and we have no plane wreckage. Bob Pugh, who'd seen the Air Florida fall in Washington, D.C. area years before, said there was no plane whatsoever. He was there within 4 minutes at the Pentagon. He works for CNN and ABC and all that. And he said that there was nothing that resembled plane wreckage. And then now we've just said that there was no plane going into the World Trade Center, Towers 1 or 2, and some of you are thinking right now, oh, God, they're wrong about that. But I think we can prove that to you.
Yeah, you were seeing a delayed picture, and you didn't see it in real time at all. It was very easy for them to plan this whole image in advance. Film doesn't just occur after an event. They can create it before the event as well.
Yeah.
And you described many of the anomalies that appear when you do sloppy editing.
Yeah.
In the creation of a composite that is designed to look like special effects or to work like special effects.
It's a shock effect, too. You know, you see that plane, it's the most frightening thing of all is a plane crash because you're helpless. And you see that ramming into the building. You know there are people in there. Well, you see the image of a plane. And and so you get into a mind warp shock that doesn't allow you to accept some blunt person saying that there were no planes.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to investigate it, you realize that there's justification to look at it. You know, first of all, like you said, those wings are very fragile, those aluminum wings. And they're gonna smack off in front of that building. Those wings aren't gonna penetrate that building. That much I can tell you.
Oh, yeah. They're two very, very fragile in comparison to the amount of weight and force that is contained within the fuselage with the fuel and the passengers and the luggage. You know, there's no luggage. There's no people other than the ones that were killed there in the building.
Well, see, and backing up a little bit, that's why they said they were going 500 miles an hour to try to make it appear that the force of inertia, you know, the force of that power would penetrate. But anybody with any, careful thinking would realize that that's very fragile aluminum. You know, you know that you can dent one of those airplane wings with your fist.
Mm-hmm.
And And then the other thing, how's that?
Yeah. Go ahead, go ahead.
Well, the other thing is that there have been plane crashes against buildings in the past, but not even steel buildings, just masonry buildings like in Iran, where there was a C-130 that smacked directly into that apartment building, and there's zero, actually there's zero penetration. Yes, it's not as big as a 767, but all of that wreckage was crumpled up and lying on the ground on that C-130. How much different is it going to be, really? And, of course, we're talking about one-inch thick steel of a 30,000 pounds per square inch strength. This is what was underneath the aluminum cladding on the World Trade Center. It's very tough. That's the that was Japanese steel. That's the toughest steel known. Yeah, that thing's going to just splat like a it's like an insect hitting a windshield. That's it. You know.
Yes. Now we also had this episode after the Pentagon incident of the FBI and who knows, it could have been NSA, FEMA.
Who knows?
Going around to all the businesses collecting the videotapes. Certainly, what did they expect to find in the plane? Were they looking, or in the videos, were they looking for another passport, another engine, or another piece of landing gear?
Well, you had that chap on that was smoking a fag a few hundred yards away, and he said there was just an explosion, blew him to the ground.
Yeah, we need to make sure we clarify that we're talking about a cigarette.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's the slang word there for
that's
a cigarette.
True, we've got to be careful. There might be children listening, as some the guy from Texas says. But yeah, this you know, he's taken a few puffs, and he's blown to the ground. What, he was 300 yards away? Did you say?
No, he said he was 900 yards away.
Jeepers! Can you imagine the concussive force of that?
That would have was to be 900 some feet. I think 900 feet.
Yeah,
that's
300
three
yards.
Football fields.
Yeah, so, it's three football fields. This is a very powerful high explosive.
Yeah.
And Gerald Holmgren did a pretty good analysis of that, showing this very powerful, intense yellowish color in the center of that hole. Mm-hmm. And this goes along with April Gallup's, the Army specialist that was injured inside the Pentagon, her material. It all coordinates. With what you had interviewed, and even myself, I said, now let's make sure your guy is, you know, legitimate, because now we're looking at, you know, finally connecting the dots. And you first exposed this as a bomb, huh? Is that what he finally concluded, right?
Yes, there were two explosions. The first one took out the roof, and the second one took out the wall from the inside. And you see that on the parking garage video. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a plane. The explosion occurs from inside the building with the wall still intact.
With the wall still intact. Now, didn't they release, because of Gallup's lawsuit, yet another film that shows the top blowing off? Black and white. And white.
You know? Yeah, they reported in the beginning that the roof collapsed sometime later on.
But there's a black and white. You had mentioned to me that there was another release of video film, like a private video film or Pentagon film, that they wouldn't release, but the lawsuit forced it to be released.
Mm-hmm. And well, there's numerous cases of that, yeah.
Okay, well, it shows the top blowing. You know, it shows, it doesn't show any missile. It shows nothing striking the front. Nothing.
Yeah. Now, that what is evident in that video is what Mr. Wesley, we'll call him, he came on at great peril to his safety, by the way, to disclose his story. As he said, they had taken a break, and he said a few of his fellow personnel inside the building, I presume they were all some branch of the military, they had gone great distance away from the building to smoke a cigarette. They didn't want to be chastised for smoking close to the building.
Yeah.
And in the proximity of non-smokers. So they went about 900 feet away. He said he was wearing a hat, and the percussive effect when that bomb went off knocked his hat off and blew the cigarette out of his mouth.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay.
That's 900 feet is quite a distance. That's 3 football fields.
Well, and they smelled a lot of cordite.
Mm-hmm.
That's high explosive.
Yeah, and he went back to the building to see if he could rescue some of his co-workers. And when he got there, there was a Marine guard who wouldn't let him pass. And he said, I hold a higher rank than you. You have to let me go past there. My friend may be dying in there. And he said, this came up from this order came down from someone at a much higher rank than you, sir. And if you proceed, I'll either have to arrest you or shoot you. And so
jarheads need to get a life.
So he went home. And then while he was at home, the rescue people who were going there to aid the victims were asking for directions to the Pentagon.
Hmm.
And he went with them. He thought it was absurd that they didn't know how to get there. And he went there again, and he saw, I asked him about a specific question, the issue of 2 guys in white shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
And ties.
Yeah.
Dark trousers.
Boop.
Carrying parts of an airplane, let's say fuselage. Now, the plane disappeared totally, right? It evaporated. So how did they find these parts, and how did these flimsy little aluminum parts,
sure,
with the A's on
right,
on
make sure
American,
we get the A's right there in front of your face, yeah.
Yes. Now,
there were only 2 of those parts maximum, by the way.
Yeah, and these guys are carrying them kind of over their shoulder. They're
yeah,
carrying these, walking along the perimeter of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera's following them doing this, okay?
Yeah.
Now, he describes them as NSA agents.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there's no doubt about that.
And plenty of people, and we're talking about engineers, structural engineers, people in the aircraft industry, took those images of those pieces and set them against a full image of an American Airlines airplane.
Yeah, they're phonier than a $3 bill.
The rivets are going in the wrong direction, even, on these parts.
Yeah, these were manufactured as what they call strewn wreckage.
Yeah.
And espionage operatives has to be responsible. What's important is they're uncharred. There are no scorch marks, nothing. It's just pure, bright aluminum, and the paint is untarnished.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's enough to corrupt people's thinking.
Yeah, and then you have this image that they show later on where you're looking from the perspective of the building toward the highway, and you can see street lamps lying down as if somebody unbolted them and just laid them down.
Yeah,
with a crane. These are very large lamps.
Yeah,
and
completely undamaged as such, except that the bottom, the base is disconnected.
Yes.
Which some people thought that there were some mini explosive charges that were placed on them to make it appear that the plane wing would have been damaged, and the trajectory of any kind of a plane would have been altered dramatically by clipping 4 lampposts. The plane would have probably flipped and blown up right there.
Yes, he never would have even made it into the building.
No, he's not going to make it. He's going to have every kind of miserable thing, and it's going to flip and smash and explode, and the plot would be revealed. I suppose this is the smartest plot, though, isn't it? Just to put some bombs and then make up a story and throw a little wreckage around. It sure might be difficult to shoot a cruise missile, as I originally theorized. Either a bomb or a cruise missile is what I put in wrongly blamed. Either one.
Mm-hmm.
But that apparently is more difficult than we know to get a cruise missile into the Pentagon, you know, with all the military systems that are protecting it.
Yeah. And don't you find it funny, in a sort of macabre way, that not one military jet was seen flying around anywhere coming to the aid of our military's think tank center. I mean, it's their headquarters.
It's very macabre. You know, this is the Pentagon. It is the most powerful military center in the world, and you know, other than the Marine that stopped your friend, there wasn't much of a military presence.
Yes,
you know, it's pretty bizarre.
And
of course,
we have numerous examples of things that just don't make any sense. Yet they form a commission, and their findings are. I think the negative thing was that there was maybe some sloppy investigation that went on, something like that. But sloppy, you have to be joking to even use a word like that.
Yeah,
and I may be paraphrasing what they said, but I think I recall them saying something along those lines. You have the FBI, you have the CIA, you have the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, the Coast Guard, the Merchant Marine.
Yeah.
And
they can't
nobody,
protect America? What kind of a... trillions of dollars for all those Secret Service agencies, and you can't stop America from being attacked? You know, so I don't know what it's worth, because we even know now who did it, and yet we don't have any kind of agency that's tackling that. It's you and I that are doing it, of all things. It's you and I that are saying that, you know, the people who are behind it are known, and we know that, for example, the World Jewry plotted this. We know that they absolutely moved the explosives, and we know for sure that they are involved in the cover-up. But, you know, it's left for us to expose that. You know?
And they're also involved in the paper trail as well, in these corrupt transactions, and we can prove that. That's
and
been
nobody
discussed.
Else is.
Yeah. Well, nobody, I don't know why no one thought to do that. I certainly figured it's worth looking at. And as I disclosed on past shows, even on this network, on this show, when I began just investigating to see what actually occurred with these put options, we heard the stories about it. I began to find other cases of definite chicanery, if you want to call that, and the SEC had to know that intentionally misspelled names were used in the transfer of securities from one party to another.
They're robbing this country of money and sending it to the Israeli entity, where it's an illicit entity that there's no jurisdiction, there's no law, there's no recourse. It's gone once it's in their hands. It's filthy.
And in every case, there is an Israeli involved.
Oh,
that, so far that we've
seen.
Well,
you know, your work on Lewin showed that he garnered essentially billions of dollars in this 911 scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Silverstein, on the blood of people from all over the world, and our firemen and our police who he denigrated, that he's now sucking the blood of them. It's beyond my comprehension. I speak to you as a physician and a healer. That
mm-hmm.
I think maybe the next show we can talk more about that, but I have to start with, you know, let's stop this murder, especially in New York right now, because the people are still very sick. We should be hearing from the New Yorkers about all their illnesses that they've gotten secondary to this situation, you know.
One wonders. I mean, there seems to be a deafening silence taking place from many of the victims.
You know, it's almost like, well, we can't talk about it because it would
be a you know, disservice to the dead. You know, go get a life. It's a disservice not to talk about it. You think the dead who've been wrongly killed enjoy your pathetic sympathy? No.
Or your denial about any of this,
well,
as if
yeah.
it didn't really happen, or it didn't affect me, so therefore I'm just going to stay out of it.
Yeah, well, that too. That too. So
you know, there are, and we should point out that, you know, we're talking about this SEC paper trail. It leads directly from MIT to Washington, D.C.
Well, that's no surprise.
You know, there are names that are intentionally misspelled in the SEC documents that point directly to a professor of architecture, or let's say an instructor of architecture, there at
MIT.
At MIT.
Mossad Institute of Terror.
Yes.
And again, in Wrongly Blamed, we have shown that the Israeli spies actually were put in prison, quite a few of them. Anywhere between 100 to 300 were in prisons, several in solitary confinement. Now, there were no Muslims who were actually put in secretive solitary confinement and given lie detector tests upon who they flunked. It was only the Israelis that flunked repeated lie detector tests. And this was all done secretly. No American knew that under secret contract or a secret situation that there were spies in this country who were asked, did you have anything to do with blowing up the World Trade Center? And they said no, and the lie detector test flunked them. You know, it's...
Yeah, it's beyond.
Can you? How do you describe this?
Yeah. Infiltrators.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There are just so many different conflicting stories. Now, that is one event. If we know Lewin survived, and of course they hold a memoriam for him. Recall that in another unrelated story, Barack Obama's mother appears to be alive by the indications of everything, and likely the grandmother that supposedly died on October 29th is alive and well, and it's just been put out of circulation so no one can talk to her.
Yeah, exactly.
So we know this is done in other cases, but in the case of the Pentagon, there's no plane there. The phone calls that Barbara Olson supposedly made to Ted Olson being
described.
He changed
that story so many times.
Yeah. Cell phone, the plane
phone. Then it was
phone,
an air
the cell phone.
Then it was back to a cell phone, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Barbara Olson's alive, like you said, and I don't know how many of the others, but according to Lisa Beamer, Todd is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
King knows that he's alive, too, by the way, Larry King. Now, I don't know where they put these guys. I know Lewin is easy to trace. You've got him traced, but where do they put a guy like Todd Beamer? I mean, where do they put Olson? Is she in Europe still? You know, she was caught over there for a while. But, and of course, Glick and Bingham are probably alive. I'm sure they were paid big money for their names and their faces, and then, you know, we won't talk too much about their potential nature, but it's not difficult for people to take that kind of money and run, you know, if that's all they're interested in.
Yeah, it's one thing after another, and there are other companies that sprung out of this whole thing. Homeland Security Investments.
That's where Lewin is making a killing.
Yeah. And then, you know, you have Silberberg, who is an international urban designer of architecture. is one of the recipients of 3.15% of his 10.10% holdings in Akamai Technologies,
yeah,
developed at MIT.
Yeah.
And has a relationship with Israeli intelligence, the special forces. Yeah.
Can you? And that's all very important because, you know, he was portrayed as being a victim and being assassinated. But can you imagine what they have to do to use a name like that and then put that person into this world without investigators to be able to easily track him? Or how they could infiltrate the police, the fire department with two Mossad agents, the Noday brothers, Gideon and Jules Noday, strictly Mossad agents, strictly Israeli assets, strictly Rockefeller, but particularly Rothschild assets. They are.
Well, you'd have to say the same about James Hanlon from the standpoint that he's aiding and abetting those agents, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, you would. And that bears even further investigation because he claims to be a 9-year veteran in the fire department. But for those men, just like the put option people, to be able to look at us in the eye, which they're never doing, if you noticed on their video, and how almost graveyard-like, eerie they are compared to the real people in the video. But to be able to look at us or look even at an angle towards us, knowing that the people that they're befriending, the firemen, are going to be murdered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you take those put options knowing that you're going to kill people in those World Trade Centers?
Mm-hmm. Now, if one were to look for Daniel M. Lewin, and this is important to buttress our argument here. He died at age 31. It's published in the papers. Of course, they gave him the middle initial C. His real middle initial is M.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He shows up at 38 years old, 7 years after 9/11.
Okay.
One would assume he's alive, would you not? Why would you keep his age progressing every year?
I would think, we know he's alive,
mm-hmm,
and yes, that would mean he would be alive. But again, how do they keep a guy like that from being a little bit more easy to find publicly? You know, if he was in an office building in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Dr. K.
Huh?
Don't mean to interrupt. We've got a caller if you would like to take
sure,
a call.
Sure, that's fine, yeah.
We have Ron from Pennsylvania on the line. Ron, welcome to Evident Footprints. Do you have a question or comment pertaining to this topic for Dr. K?
Yes, I just have a quick comment and then I'll depart. I had, Dr. K's request, I had sent you a link yesterday to the Republic Media TV, and I wonder if I was successful in sending that to you.
Yes, Ron, but I clicked on it and nothing happened, unfortunately, my friend, so... I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to give you an email address to one of my associates.
Okay, because it's still up as far as I know.
Well, if you can, I don't know if you want to repeat it to if you can send it maybe to Mr. Nikoloff. You've got his website. You can fire him another one, and he'll figure it out for me.
Okay, I could send the link to him there somewhere, and I'll try that. I didn't know.
Well, was that program where the woman said that she had advance information that they were going to bring the trade centers down?
Right, that was Susan Landar.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to look at that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, make of that what you would. I'll go ahead and send that to Dawn, and I'll depart, and we'll see what success prevails.
Okay, that sounds real good. And I must tell you, there was a woman that was familiar with someone posing as a construction person that got into the World Trade Center on September the 4th and was involved with altering some of the floors. She then decided to maybe talk about this, and she was killed in a fiery car accident on about September the 13th on the Beltway. So some of these people may be coming forward now because they know, and they're trying to at least say, hey, I'm alive and this is what I know, because some of them got knocked off. Yeah.
Sometimes the best thing to do is get all your stuff, go underground, develop the information, and then blab it all over the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
You and Dawn are going to be in receipt of something in a few days, and I'll just depart with that note.
Well, let me just say this, you know, keep in touch, because maybe you can help us on dig up a couple more things, but I'll wait till that new. I see this new information. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You're going to get some mail here shortly, so...
That would help. Anything you can mail to me is better than...
Well, it's what I mentioned the other week, but this, I'm going to throw this link on to Dawn, and we'll take it from there and see what happens.
That's great.
And
all right, thank you, Ron.
If it get back to me, and I'll try another address.
That's
what
great.
With that.
No, that'll be fine. We'll get it.
You gentlemen, take care. Catch you another day.
Okay.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You see, there are people out there that are aware of what's going on. You know what's mind-boggling? You know, I'm one person. You're one person. Together, we're two.
Yeah.
And they have thousands of agents that can be doing this work.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't anyone doing it? I mean, you and I know the answer to that question.
I can tell you that New York City is the perfect place to do a terror attack because it's so filthy corrupt that even if there was an honest man, he's going to give up very quickly. I think Officer Ron knows the situation in some of the big cities. It's such a whirlwind of filth and corruption. But it's a legitimate thing to say, well, what about the FBI? Because, you know, there are some, I think, potentially, I don't know. I don't know what to say, except that if you're an FBI agent and you're not investigating this, what are you investigating? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
you look at the marching orders that we have to take when we go to an airport, take off your shoes, because of this ruse of was it Muhammad Musawi?
Well, it was this fellow from England that was Richard Reed that...
That was Richard Reed, yeah,
and
okay.
Now, you know what's interesting about Richard Reed, because it is a ruse. How come he went to the Israeli entity twice on LL Airlines? What was he doing there? If he was a newborn Muslim and, you know, a convert and stuff. You see how they operate?
Mm-hmm.
They might get somebody that doesn't have a very high IQ. Well, I don't know him. I can't say. But may not be too real sharp on these kinds of things. And they tell him, you know... we'll help you become a proper, sort of, Muslim revolutionary. And maybe he wasn't even a Muslim. I don't know what he was, but they got the poor guy into their system. And I don't even know if he put off a bomb, but he was in their system. And then they, have all these things that they impose upon us. It's just like this liquid bomb. When Avin Ruzar was caught talking to AIPAC, the Israeli embassy guy, and the chatter is now published where he said, look, the liquid bomb hoax worked, didn't it? Don't belittle a good thing. You know? So they invented that.
Mm-hmm.
To hide the fact that they got canned by the Hezbollah. They lost those 30 to 50 tanks. They got punched, and all of this insanity at the airport is their doing. Now, that's worth the FBI investigating, that they faked that terror attack, and now we go through all of this terror in the airports.
Yeah, don't bring too much toothpaste on board, because it could be hazardous to everybody's
health. All that waste. All because of the world Jewry and their plots. All because they wanted to hide the fact that they got defeated in their, their feeble, wimpy army that in an mm-hmm. open battle runs like chickens, you know. And now they want the more brave Americans to go fight their wars for them. because American troops are oftentimes willing to sacrifice for their country or their brothers, and not so with the Jews. They're chickens. They run for cover.
Well, I'd like usually the law enforcement agent with the most power in any jurisdiction is the local sheriff, and I'd like to see the sheriff of whatever county that is in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, actually do his job and conduct a real investigation. Because if there was no records to pick up, they didn't pick up any records, so he could certainly go out there and determine that.
He could.
And file charges.
He could. He could, and also, if there was strewn wreckage, he could investigate that and who placed it. My God, shouldn't we at least know who put the fake engine and the fake wheel over there in New York? And like you said, if there is some fake wreckage, but we've never seen a photograph of it from Shanksville, not one,
mm-hmm.
but if they really do have some, to start investigating where it came from, what plane it belongs to, like a normal plane crash investigation where you piece it together. Not so in this case. Did the world change just because the world Jewry wants to conquer us? We have to just let them do it? And like you said, 10 years ago it would have been investigated. 20 years ago it would have been thoroughly investigated. Not now. Everything has been suspended.
Yeah, it should be raising questions.
How can we allow that people made blood money, not the kind of blood money of the Old Testament where if you kill somebody you have to replace that somehow, but blood money on top of killing them? So not only do they not pay you for the fact that they killed you and that they killed the first responders who are now dying with lymphoma and leukemia and with thyroid cancer and with emphysema and with every disease, they also took the money, and they've set up a charity. CBS set up a charity with the Nade film. They set up a charity and told people to send money. Who's holding them to account with that money they collected for that was supposed to be given to the victims? It's all in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
No one's holding anybody. Only this show. No other show. You have shows on top of shows. You have people who say, oh, no, actually, we still have to look at those Arab hijackers. You have shows that want to make excuses for the Jewish power. Oh, no, don't talk about that. They'll give you a lot of information, but when you talk about who murdered the people in the World Trade Center, they run. They run for cover.
Yeah, and they attack those that are talking about it.
And some of them say that they're anti-Zionist and that they're, that the Jews are bad and all this stuff. Which we don't say that Jews are bad here. We say that world Jewry has taken out the United States of America by proxy and has even stated that we will use the American people as our militia to achieve our goals. And we have Henry Kissinger, who is a Mossad agent at the highest level, who says that Americans are dumb, useless animals to be used. I don't agree with him. I see the American people as being the only force left on this planet that could straighten this thing out. Who else is going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Who else are they trying to convince with all their energy, with fake videos and fake strewn wreckage and telling us that Bush and the CIA did it? Who else are they concentrating on? Only the Americans. They're afraid of the Americans. And only 1% of Americans are awake.
Well, in a way, and they're allowing them to do it, our officials are just as complicit. As is the media in the cover-up of it.
I agree with you.
Why should
we be on the front line? We're just a couple of people,
Well, isn't that what courage is about?
Well, I guess so.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, go ahead and be courageous. I have a lot of things I have to get done. I've got to mow the lawn, and I've got to paint the bathroom, and I got to get the kids to soccer practice.
Yeah.
Until it touches you, folks, you know, until it's right in your neighborhood or in your backyard or your front yard, you're not going to appreciate what we're saying.
Can't you feel for those firemen that were turned into liquid in those World Trade Centers when the miserable Giuliani knew the building was going to come down and Silverstein had a miserable doctor's appointment and kept his children away, and when the Israelis all abandoned Zim International Moving, left everything, and when every single Israeli security guard and bodyguard and executive and banker and money changer all gone, none of them left, and what few were left were given instant messaging from Israel to get out of the building. Don't we have anything left in us to feel for the people who were slaughtered?
And
I can't stand it. I can't stand to watch that Naudé film and see those policemen. How they're just wandering around in that lobby. And the stupid Naudé Mossad is saying, oh, that crash is just somebody splattering on the sidewalk. What do you think you're going to take us for? We're not stupid people. Those crashes are bombs, shattering glass and shattering concrete. How dare you? You know?
Yeah.
And they cut out that part where that fireman said it was boom, 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 boom. He took his hand sideways, boom, 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 and he made those gestures of those bombs. They sliced that out. They made sure we didn't see that. They made sure they didn't show those. Ron was talking about how they blew that building, and that you can see the lateral explosions, and they cut that out of the film.
You know, they do some pretty good special effects in the movies, and they also do some pretty spectacular stunts, rescuing people with dangling from a cable that's attached to a helicopter, and going into a dangerous place. Now I know that they can't get the helicopters close to the building without hitting the blades against it. It's very unlikely, but you would think that they would have been able to devise some way to get those people out. They didn't want to.
Well, they
didn't.
They sealed the ceiling, my friend.
Yeah.
Don. Silverstein shut the hatches so that they couldn't get anybody up on that. They didn't want anybody up on that roof so that they'd have to deal with that. They sealed that off, and they trapped those people. They wanted certain of them dead because of the investigations and that firm that was wiped out, starts with an M. And not Merrill Lynch, because Merrill Lynch and Sachs, the Israeli firms, did real well. They didn't lose so many, but the other firms did. And, I mean, there were still Merrill Lynch employees, I'm sure, killed. There was all kinds of people killed. Let's make it clear. But certain firms that were Israeli-owned escaped any losses.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single regular Israeli worker died. That place is full of them, normally. Now, I want to tell you something else. We have proof that the Zionists drilled those holes and planted those bombs, and that these were Israeli operatives. They put the bombs in. So not only did Silverstein and Netanyahu detonate those, and then their higher-ups coordinated, Bromman and Rockefeller and such,
mm-hmm.
but they physically put the bombs in, and we even have proof that they put truck bombs in the garage in the sub-basements.
Yes, there's actually video of bombs. I think this came up on a show last night. Someone had asked us if we had seen the video. We didn't get around to answering that question, but there were bombs planted and filmed. And and it's not the first time that this has been, anything like that's been filmed. The Murrah building, CNN accidentally showed an unexploded bomb hanging from a cable out the left side of the gaping hole that was in the Murrah building.
Yeah, well, here in the World Trade Center, the NYPD said that there's explosive ordnance. Clear out, clear out, clear out. We've found some explosives. You know, and here we have Peter Jennings and the rest of them, Wilf Blitzer and the whole crew, not one word.
And you've got a fireman out in the street instructing other firemen, get going, keep moving. That building's about to come down. That building's going to come down.
Building 7 now, yeah.
Yeah, and they knew that. Now,
you know, foreknowledge is a big deal, actually. I'll soon have a list of all the people that had foreknowledge. I have the list, but I'm going to make it public. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sin that... that these all of these different organizations that claim to be the responsible ones for our safety, and I don't like this word security because it promises something that they don't intend for us to have, and it preys upon people's fear. It's the word security implies that there's something to fear.
Yeah, true. That's true.
And it's just a reflection of their own fears that they have to create these laws to insulate themselves from prosecution.
Here's a good example of that. Oh, I can't say anything about the Jewish plot of the media, of the of Rupert Murdoch, of Murray Sumner Redstone, and all the other media moguls of CBS and ABC. Well, I can't say anything. I can't say anything about the Israeli spies. I can't say anything about their attempt to blow the living, you know what, the George Washington Bridge. I can't say anything about the fact that they whacked this, well, to use a different terminology, that they blew the bottom out of the World Trade Center. We can't say anything about that because we might lose our job. You don't have a job anymore. What good did it do? All the jobs are gone. You know, all the economy's gone. Nobody can sell a house. So what good did all that fear do that Mr. Nikoloff was talking about? Didn't do you any good, did it? You know? The only thing going to do you any good is get rid of the fear. And get rid of the criminals. This country's so powerful, in a year it would change. And we could get, it might take a couple, 3 years for the real estate market. But in a year or two, we could start remanufacturing. We could create, new markets. We could get rid of these invasions in the Middle East and start and shake hands with the people, tell them we're sorry, please forgive us for our crimes. That's it. Then we start selling all of our equipment and the computers and bulldozers to the Middle Easterners. They'd be happy to buy it all. I mean, you know, this is the stupidest thing. Just for this little group of criminals and pornographers and fornicators, we're going to lose the whole country for that. I mean, I can't understand it.
Yeah, you're making a very, very strong point and a valid point. We hear this time and again. There are plenty of parallel cases to support what you're saying. And yet this is just overlooked.
We have no economy left. Unless we chop the beast off at the head. It's just, you know, I'm on the inside. I know upper middle class people that are on the bread line. I don't have enough money to help all these people that I've known for years that are going belly up. They're coming to me all the time saying, hey, can you help me with this? Hey, can you help me with that? You know some people. I've got a piece of real estate. What do you do? You know? As you watch these people implode. And they don't have any clue who that it's an internal enemy.
Well, you you have to ask yourself, why are they not trying to get to the bottom of what their problem is? Is it that they lost their job? Is it that they lost their pants in the stock market?
Yeah, a lot of it's that they trusted in that system, you know. And I'm not saying everybody's not responsible, but ultimately, the only way to regenerate this country is to get rid of the criminal element. Now, we have police that call us. We have others that call us. If you have these criminals that can just walk up to you and say, you're going to give me $10 trillion and there's nothing you can do about it, there's no way. The only hope there is, Don, is to stop that and get rid of it. Otherwise, the Great Depression is just around the bend. I see the handwriting on the wall right as we speak. You don't do anything. You don't raise up against this. And the wealth of this country will disappear for decades. And, you know, who knows if we'll ever get it back? Who knows? How do you keep up with... Let me ask you this. How do you keep up with, in one day, it's decided, now you say it's more than this, so you tell us as we close this. In one day it's decided that we will give $70 trillion, or $700 billion, and have no access to who it's given to.
No accountability for it either.
Yeah.
And that while they're holding illegally $14 trillion of money that belongs to the Queen of England and a Saudi prince and China.
And do you know who made that decision? It was World Jewry that did that. It was Goldman Sachs, Paulson. It was through the Rockefellers, through the Rothschilds, through the Bronfmans, so that they won't lose or whatever their motive is. But they have so much power over the American people that they can just take their wealth, not just take their blood, take their youth and have them fight their wars.
Well, they got their power, and our audience has heard this a number of times, but for the new listeners out there, they got their power by bribing Congress and bribing the Senate, and by threatening martial law if they don't comply. That was how they got the bailout. The bailout is just to revive the crashing derivatives, hedge funds, Ponzi schemes, because those funds which were deposited into foreign accounts were frozen. And this $14 trillion has a lot to do with it. These massive
Incredible.
Amounts of money are being created out of thin air, and you know, starting with the Federal Reserve and depositing this into the Treasury and then splitting up the funds and spreading them around, buying up the real estate, because what they're doing is they're illegally transferring these properties into these foreign banks'
Incredible.
Names.
Incredible.
We know this time and again. It's happening all over the country.
Did you know that John F. Kennedy got so sick of them that he printed some separate currency and was going to bypass the New York Fed just before he was killed?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just shows you that that's the only way out, is to have a system outside of them where they don't have any power anymore, and it's just the American people. And
mm-hmm.
whatever, even the American people that are in the business people that aren't Jewish, all the corruption in this country is coming from the Jewish cartel. We could correct it just by getting rid of them. Finished. Out. That's the only chance. No other chance. Finished. They hold the cards of all the corruption and evil on this planet. And all they seek is world government at everybody's expense. And you can tell from the words of Henry Kissinger that everything I speak is the truth. He's willing to sacrifice our children, the American people,
It makes me sick when I see these young kids on these airplanes in their desert gear, because they'll kill and be killed. They have no idea what they're doing. Our troops have to listen to me and respect this intelligence of what I'm saying to you, that you should fight for your country and not for a foreign government.
Not for the bankers.
Well, that's even more. And that they enrich themselves off of these youth.
And not for the pharmaceutical companies or the oil companies.
And the anthrax vaccine that's killed so many of them. You know who the sickest young man I've ever seen is in my whole life?
And let me
anthrax
guess.
Vaccine, yes.
It's his middle initial W.
Well, you know, with time he got sicker. It was an anthrax vaccine recipient, a military young man, too sick to be alive.
You know, that's another aspect of this whole thing, too, is they went after certain individuals, and one of the so-called victims was a secretary of NBC News anchor Tom Brokaw. She had opened up, well, this is the story they told us. We have to remind ourselves of this, okay? We're being given a story, and because it's been published by the media, therefore it's true.
Yeah.
But the story came out that there were somewhere between 4 and 6 people that received these anthrax letters.
Yeah.
And they know it was military anthrax.
Yeah. Weaponized.
They know which base that was created.
It was the Israeli agent that did that anyway.
And,
Professor
and,
Zach, yeah.
Yeah, and you had Tom Brokaw actually was a stockholder in that company that made that.
It's odd, isn't it?
So they put that story out there. Well, he knows the real deal about it, so he's the perfect guy in the media to put that story out.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
He's the victim.
Yeah.
He's the intended victim. But they didn't get to good old Tom Brokaw.
No. They got to that reporter that had reported the drunkenness of the Bush twins amongst. And, but, you know, there's something more to it than that, because his wife had some encounters because she rented the property to those Mossad agents that were imitating Mohammed Atta.
Mm-hmm.
So one wonders why they specifically targeted him, if it had to do with the fact that he was going to write a story about the Israeli spies. We don't know, but he was killed, that's for sure. And this is it, you know, our police that are listening, our whoever, what are we doing having people murdered, bold-faced, and we can trace who they are, who the murderers are? You know how difficult it is on a murder crime scene when you just come upon a dead body? Then you have to put the pieces together? This is easy. You know who the murderers are and who the premeditated murderers are and who the conspirators are. You have no challenges ahead of you.
Yeah, and then you have these statements being made, and you know more about this than me. I didn't. You actually read her statement, but Ellen Mariani.
Oh, yeah.
She made a claim to the effect that she was the only one who lost a member of her family,
yes,
a loved one, on 9/11?
With Phil Berg in tow, she said that she is the only, surviving relative of any of the airplane victims, which is a real conundrum, a real, mind-bender. But not if you look at this outside of the box. What she's saying is that there weren't any passengers on the planes.
Or that there were no planes.
Well, yeah.
and she's excluding the people that we saw jumping from the buildings.
Yeah. She's saying that there were no planes or passengers except her husband. Now, that doesn't make any sense, so that makes one suspicious about who her husband is.
Or who she is.
Well, and who, absolutely. And don't forget that she has all these silly statements about, you don't know what it's like to eat alone and live alone and be alone, and, you know what I mean? And then suing these George Bush and Dick Cheney. And she wouldn't sue the Mossad. She didn't sue Silverstein for shutting off the, you know, the top of the roof. And we have all these gatekeepers that prevent anybody from making sense out of anything. You have the gatekeepers who said that there was a missile hitting Flight 93. Because there wasn't any flight, there couldn't be a missile. You have the gatekeepers that say that it was, an A-1 or some sort of a small jet that struck the Pentagon. Okay, if it wasn't a big jet, it was a small jet. You have the gatekeepers that tell us that, you know, well, maybe since the hijackers, you know, committed the act, they also snuck into the World Trade Center and planted the bombs. You have people still saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the gatekeepers that say that, you know, that Mossad warned America, and that's their role. They told us that it would happen, and our CIA ignored that, and so they're culpable, and so is Bush and Cheney. They're the ones that are culpable because they did not protect the American people because the Mossad told them it was going to happen. Yeah. So why wouldn't anybody be confused?
And then we have, you know, this is just recapping. Again, we could just keep coming out with these for hours. We have the PNAC document, a project for a new American century, Rebuilding America's Defenses, it was called.
Mm.
And they were calling for a new Pearl Harbor event.
A galvanizing, catalyzing act on American soil.
Mm-hmm.
Premeditated murder?
Who
would be the suspect with a document published like that?
William Kristol would be one. Jeb Bush was another one.
And Shulsky and Wolfowitz and Zockheim et al.
Yeah.
And Poderetz, the whole group of sinners. Ugh.
I mean, it's in writing. This is on the web.
Yeah, fully published. Fully published that we need a terror attack. That's the only thing that'll galvanize the American people. Get some patriotism. We can ram the Patriot Act through.
And who was it recently? I don't mean to interrupt you. Somebody recently, within the past few weeks, said, we need another terror act.
Yeah, there's a Zionist, perpetrator that we talked about, Podolsky or something, that says we need another 911. And there have been a few other agents, Netanyahu, others who've broadcast that in order to galvanize for World War III. We need to get people patriotized again.
I don't even know what to say at this point.
Yeah.
But they really said
it in this miserable national, and Joseph Biden said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know some Americans have been saying this rubbish that this would bring America together again. And this came on the heels or just preceding our broadcasts, within the past couple of weeks. About the false flag events, the plan to bomb 7 American cities, and we're talking about nuclear bombs.
Well, shouldn't every sheriff and every FBI or every person look at what happened to that nuclear tactical nuke off of the Minot, North Dakota B-52?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Certainly in North Dakota and Louisiana and Texas, and likely in Nevada, too, because that plane was tracked going to Nevada, and it very well could have been left there. We do know that there was a bomb in Los Angeles that was found, and there was a bomb found in Kansas City.
These were nuclear devices.
Yes, one was in a power company in Kansas City and in a bank in Los Angeles.
This is dirty rats.
Yeah, now I don't know about the other ones. And this has been corroborated by a number of researchers, not just talking
about. Well, we know that one of those very large nuclear devices is missing from that B-52, in addition to the other two that you found through your associates. And there is, well, I was just told by some friends on the Power Hour that another military man who was familiar with this has turned up dead. And I'm now being informed that a number of people who were associated with that theft have died. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously it is traceable, but they're assassinating the people who know about it, you see.
Yeah, within a matter of a few days of that Barksdale Air Force Base incident, there were at least 18 people reported killed suddenly.
Unbelievable.
And the odds of that happening are just as great as four planes totally evaporating and disappearing. I'd like to see them under a controlled act. Go someplace and take a nuclear weapon and blow up an airplane and see if you can make it totally evaporate.
Yeah.
I bet you can't.
No. But I'll tell you something else in sort of interesting conclusion here, and I think everybody needs to investigate this. That they did turn that material into a kind of a fine dust, and you're right, it didn't evaporate, it was turned into a dust. Now, I have a question for everybody. We know that there were some conventional explosives in those buildings, but what we haven't been able to finalize is, what about the smaller nukes? Because I mentioned a report of a woman who said, it is so hot in here, I can't stand it. Is there any fire? There's no fire, but it's so hot, it's so hot. No, because she called 911. It's a real deal. Now, we got reports that in the basement, as I'm investigating this, a number of other people said, it is so hot, and they ripped their jackets off, and they found that their flesh was hanging off their arms. There was no fire.
It was literally cooking them.
Yes, it was a non-fire cooking, not the burning. You know, if it was fire, it burns the flesh into itself. It doesn't so much cause this sort of like a, you're peeling open an aluminum can effect, you know, peeling off skin.
That's very similar to, I mean, that could be a chemical weapon, but there would likely be some way of, your face would go before your arms would go. This sounds more like an energy weapon.
Energy weapon, whether nuclear or otherwise, neutron or
particle beam or antimatter.
In Hiroshima, yeah. I checked into this a little further. In Hiroshima, they had people with this. I mean, I don't know for sure what it is. None of us do, but they had these kinds of things with this skin peeling off as well. So it's some kind of beaming of energy. But what's interesting is now there's this cluster, and we expect it later, and now we're getting it, of thyroid cancer and lymphoma and leukemia in high ratio in the firemen and in the cleanup crew. You see? So one can't rule out whether or not they've created some sort of a pulverizing bomb. And we do know that this was a pyroclastic thing, like a volcanic. Very much the same as a volcanic explosion.
And you know, they launched a ship some time ago, not too many months ago, and they were bragging about the fact that they had taken the wreckage from 9/11, and
it's
that
horrible.
Ship was the components of the metal. Now, do you think they really cleaned that up? Do you really think they did that? Or is that
no,
just...
No, they... I don't know. And if they did, they're just as wicked as sin. But what I do know is several of the first responders were told that they had to take all their clothes off. Whatever clothes they brought, it had to stay because it was contaminated. And so when you look at the pulverization of matter, and when you look at the plume
going up, and you look at a volcano, and you see that it's that same kind of explosive power, where rock can be pulverized into dust, then you have to start looking at non-conventional explosives in addition to the conventional, in addition to whatever thermite might have been there and all that. And that's going to take some investigating, and I'm doing that investigation. Yeah.
Now, you've ruled out Osama bin Laden. He could not have pulled this off from his cave.
Well, bin Laden was actually, I think, he's a relatively nice chap. You know, all he's trying to do is to fight for his country. He's tired of the American oppressive. He doesn't want, the world Jewry to run Saudi Arabia or whatever. So he tried to fight. So they kicked him out, and he went to Sudan. Well, then the American pressure kicked him out of there, so went to Afghanistan. So he's running around like that, living, that way. He can't do anything like this. He can't plant charges. He can't, and he said, listen, I don't find it to be an appreciable act to kill innocents. But in fact, the American hierarchy kills innocents in Lebanon, mm-hmm. in Gaza, in Palestine, in Egypt, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, with boycotts, with bombs. I mean, let's not forget that bin Laden was the first one to warn everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look, American people need to look elsewhere. They need to look for a secret government, which I thought was very wise, but we didn't know about it until I started researching my book, Wrongly Blamed, a government within a government. And then
When you look at the fact, if you believe what the media reports, that he's hiding in a cave, or he was hiding in a cave, it seems to me like he wouldn't be that adept at fixing drywall after planting explosives in the World Trade Center.
You mean when the plane scar heals itself?
Well, I'm just talking about, the pre-planning of the bomb.
That's right. They fixed the drywall after they put the charges in. I mean, this is a sophisticated thing. You have to have everything perfect. You have to have, 1,000 or 2,000 foot soldiers. All of those people came from the Zionist entity. They shuffled the Zionist spies. They know that they can shuffle them back. They know if they're arrested, they're going to be shuffled back. They know that the Brotherhood will keep their mouths shut. They know that nobody from the Brotherhood will come forward. And that's what happened. They're the only ones who did it. They pulled the trigger. They killed the people. Nobody's doing anything about it. It's time to take action and conquer this evil force that's destroying this country and destroying every other country. The dime bomb alone that they used in Gaza should be enough for the whole world to take whatever energy they've got in their hands and shove all those perpetrators off into the sea. They can go find some other place where they can't cause this kind of misery. That dime heavy metal weapon, they even announced it by saying Operation Cast Lead. Those criminals bragged about using a new civilian killer. And they did it, and they dropped that thing, and that thing ripped people's legs off, anybody within 15 yards circular. It ripped their feet off, their legs off. It turned the whole place into a bunch of cripples. This is the most wicked. This earth can't even stand this wickedness. It won't stand it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. K, we're out of time. And I promised the listening audience that we were going to be talking about health supplements. If we could do that in a closing comment, what could we take to wake up and do something about
it? The best thing anybody can do is use oil of oregano.
Okay.
It's the antidote to poison. When people do the kind of work that you're doing, I'm doing, Ron's doing, you never know. Somebody might say, we want to do something to you. You need to take a few drops every other day to keep the immune system strong. You want to make sure you get the stuff out there with the blue label. You don't want to buy garbage. But that's the best stuff that you can do. You'll notice that it keeps you healthier. It's anti-infection. It's antioxidant. And we'll get into more later, but if I could just encourage everybody to do that to start with, because a lot of our listeners don't know what to take.
you're going to find that, did you know that when you can give someone poison hemlock, and if you give them two or three drops of this every hour, you stop, you don't die? That's how powerful this stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a biological weapon or some miserable enemy puts out a low-level nuke in seven cities, and how realistic is it? When this man I'm talking to warned us of this, within 3 days, Newsmax magazine, put out an article saying that Al-Qaeda was going to hit seven cities with nukes. And they even have a book they claim you can get for free about how Al-Qaeda is going to hit us.
Yeah,
that was
but we
3
know
days
that
after
was a ruse.
You did your show. What's that?
Yeah, we're just underscoring that that was a ruse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because the word was that that it was a Zionist Mossad faction that had planned this, that two NSA agents and two Mossad agents were overheard, what they call chatter, the communications between the two parties, that this was going to take place. And this was while, as you well and rightfully pointed out, while Hamas was kicking Israel's butt there in Gaza.
Yeah. Yeah, while those little chickens were running for cover, you know, and they couldn't stand the thought of, getting two defeats in a row.
And this is international blackmail we're talking about here.
Oh, totally. Totally. Absolutely, totally. And this is our enemy. There is no other enemy. America can do just fine. It'll take some time to recover from their crime. We have no other enemy. The Middle East we need, because once we determine the enemy and we conquer that criminal cartel, then we go to our friends in the Middle East and we say, look, let's do some business and America will become wealthy again. That's my goal, is to stop this madness. I won't stop until it's done.
Yes. Well, we only will achieve that when we reveal the truth, and that's what we're doing. And I appreciate you being on the show tonight, Dr. K.
Yeah, you take care.
I want to direct folks to your website, knowledgehousepublishers.com. And
I tell you this, Wrongly Blamed is so convincing that if you have someone on the borderline that can't understand this, whoever reads it, it opens up everything. So use it as a tool, and as a courtesy to the listeners, anybody that orders two books, 1-866-626-5888, 866-626-5888, anybody that orders one Wrongly Blamed actually gets the second one for free. That's what I'll do to help spread the word, okay?
Well, that's very kind of you.
Yeah.
And you're going to be back on Wednesday, the 11th of this month.
Right, so we'll talk about more of the health issues then and antidotes and how to stay healthy and take some health questions.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Dr. K. And we'll talk soon. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Dr. Qasem Khalil, or Dr. K as he's affectionately known. And we would like to thank Doug and Donald Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. By the way, tune in tomorrow night. Doug Newsom will be my special guest, co-founder of BBS Radio. And to you, the listening audience, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.